Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Bohemian Girl by Georgia Cates, narrated by Chris Chambers and Loretta Rollins. Chapter 1. Lucas Broussard. This quarter's sales are profitable. Damn profitable. Buying into Iron City Brewery as a partner 4 years ago has proven to be a wise decision. Oliver, Porter, and I are well on our way to becoming three very wealthy men. A knock at the door steals my attention away from this quarter's numbers.
Hey, Lucas, you got a minute?
Sure, come on in. My business partner, Oliver Thorne, enters and shuts the door behind him. He shrinks into the chair across from me, hunched with his forearms resting on his thighs, and his face nearly hidden in his palms. This isn't the typical carefree Oliver who launches himself into the chair opposite me and kicks up his heels on the edge of my desk to annoy the fuck out of me. The disheveled guy in front of me looks defeated. I'm quiet as I wait for him to look up at me or say something, but he does neither. Maybe I should prompt him to say something, anything. I was just going over the numbers. They're up again, this time by 14%. That's almost two times what they were last quarter. It's unbelievable how quickly this company is growing. The whole thing began with two college guys brewing beer in their apartment. They dreamed of turning their hobby into a multi-million dollar company. And they've done it. We've done it. I was taken by surprise when Porter approached me about buying in as a partner. I was his boss at the time, and although I wasn't much older, he and Oliver seemed like a pair of naive college graduates with zero business experience. Dreamers. But then I sampled their beer and knew that these guys had something special on their hands. That was 4 years and several million dollars ago. Lords of the hops. Masters of the craft. Brew brothers. The founding fathers of Iron City Brewery have been called many things. The list is endless because these two know and understand the science behind producing high quality, good taste in ale. Money-making beer. Oliver is a chemical engineer. Porter is a graphic designer who also manages the marketing department. And I'm the business and finance guy. I run the numbers. Dollars, evaluation, return on investment. Those are the things I know and understand. I trust Oliver and Porter to produce a top-quality product. They have confidence in me to manage all the business and financial aspects. Each of us does his part. That's why we make a great trio. Oliver still isn't talking, so I guess I'll have to probe. I assume you shut the door because you want to talk privately.
Yeah. I've been having a hard time since things ended with Eden.
No shit. He's been on a 3-month party streak with booze and women. These last few months haven't been your finest. I'm pretty sure Oliver has partied more this summer than he did during his entire college career at Alabama.
I have a problem.
Oliver turned to the party life to numb the pain of an ugly breakup. I guess most guys have done that at one time or another, but he took it beyond what I consider reasonable. Not the best way to deal with a problem when you have beer within your reach at any given time. I'm glad to hear you're taking charge before it spirals out of control.
It's got a little out of control already. I spent a night in the slammer last weekend. Got a DUI.
Oh, hell. A DUI conviction stays on your record for 5 years in the state of Alabama. I can't believe this shit, Oliver. You're a partner in a company that advocates responsible drinking with a designated driver. Do you understand how poorly that reflects upon our company?
Trust me, I know.
He runs his hand through his hair and sighs.
I'm working with an attorney. He's almost certain he'll be able to get me out of it.
Avoiding a conviction only fixes part of the problem. This could mean bad publicity for Iron City if this gets out. My attorney says he's certain we can divert my case out of the court system and avoid a criminal record if I go through a rehabilitation program.
That's your only option?
I can fight it. Maybe I win, maybe I don't. But one thing's for sure. If I don't do the program and I lose, I'm fucked.
A conviction would be disastrous.
Then you don't have a choice. You have to attend the meetings, which is probably not a bad idea, considering the amount of drinking that he's been doing.
It's not outpatient meetings. I have to enter a 30-day inpatient program.
Inpatient for 30 days?
Fuck.
Porter will have to pick up all of his load, and I'm not sure how he'll handle more work at this point. He's already snowed under with his own responsibilities. We all are.
You think Porter can take on your workload in addition to his own?
Sudden Taste Beer Festival is just around the corner, and we're in charge of hosting the event this year. 16 breweries will be traveling to our home turf in Birmingham for the festivities. It's a ton of preparation, even when we join forces. Being short a partner won't be helpful. I've arranged to hire an assistant for him while I'm away. Marley is working with the temp service to line up interviews.
At least he's making preparations for his absence. We'll do what it takes to make things work while you're away. Just concentrate on getting your shit together.
That's the plan.
I'm no stranger to how a man can let his life spin out of control.
You'll pull things together.
I have to. If not for myself, I have to do it for Lawrence.
I try to place who he's talking about, but I'm stumped.
Lawrence?
My sister? Laurie?
Oh, right. His sister. I'm sure you don't want to disappoint her.
I don't. And that's why I'm not planning to let her know I'm in a substance abuse program. She'd freak if she knew.
I've always been under the impression that he was close to his sister. I'm surprised he'd keep something like this from her. 4 years as his business partner, and I've not met his sister. Not even spoken to her. You obviously don't have to worry about me saying a word since I'm not acquainted with her. And I'm sure Porter won't tell her anything.
I know neither of you will rat me out. But I have a kink in my plan. I can only have outside contact on visitation day, so the program won't allow me to bring my phone into the facility. That's a problem because I text or talk to my sister almost every day. She'll know something is up if I go radio silent.
What kind of rehab program cuts you off from your friends and family?
That's his support system.
Well, they don't cut you off. I can make calls from the payphone and have visitors on Sundays.
I can see how that's going to be an issue if Oliver and his sister usually have daily contact.
Have you come up with a scenario to explain your sudden disappearance?
No, but I've come up with a plan. Not sure you're going to like it, though.
Oliver hesitates a moment before continuing.
I need you to be me while I'm gone.
Well, that's dumb as hell. You want me to be you? You must be wasted right now because that makes no sense. There's no way I could pass myself off as you to your sister.
She knows his voice. Plus, I'm Cajun. She'd hear one word out of me and immediately know that I'm not her brother.
You won't have to talk to Laurie. I just need you to pacify her with texts.
Oh, fuck no. I'm not getting sucked into that.
I know I'm asking a lot of you.
Why ask me? Porter knows your sister. Wouldn't he be the better choice?
That makes better sense to me.
Oliver chuckles.
Porter goes completely stupid when it comes to Laurie. He'd probably forget he was supposed to be texting as me and hit on her.
I've never known Porter to be interested in one particular woman. I have no idea what his type is. I guess the Lawrence type.
I'm already putting my workload off on Porter. It would be pretty shitty to place double duty on him.
Well, he isn't wrong about that.
I leaned back in my chair and rubbed a scruff on my chin as I considered the task being asked of me. There is no way I could come off as Oliver. We are so different. He's a dreamer, an idealist. I'm a numbers man, logistical. I know nothing about his relationship with his sister or their history. But Iron City needs this problem to go away, and fast. If a 30-day inpatient program is what it'll take, then I have to help make that happen. Why do you feel the need to keep this from your sister? You're an adult. Can't you tell her what happened the same way you told me? She'll immediately assume that I'm an alcoholic. I'm not, I swear. I can lay the booze down today and never take another drink. Oliver likes to have a good time, but it's never caused a problem. I know you're not. We have a strong family history with drug addiction, so I don't want to upset her. He's never mentioned that. You'd think that I'd have to text her once a day, something like that. Probably more than once a day, but still not a big deal. She mostly messages about random stuff happening in her life. A porter could help you out if you run into a problem. It's texting. How bad can it be? All right, I'll do it for you. Thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate it. No problem. At least I hope there's no problem. When does the charade begin? I'm scheduled to check into the clinic tomorrow morning. That soon, eh? No reason to wait. No, I suppose not. The sooner this is behind him, the sooner he returns to work. I owe you one, Lucas. Yeah, you do. A big one, and don't you forget it, buddy. I plan on coming up with something good to make this worth my while. I'd expect no less out of you.
Chapter 2. Lawrence Thorne. My brother isn't answering his phone. Again. Oliver Thorne, this is the third time I've called you this week. Are you ever going to call me back? I'm beginning to think that you're avoiding me, and it's pissing me off big time. I press end and drop my phone on my lap. Angry, annoyed, aggravated, worried. I'd normally never interrupt one of my beach outings with my girls to call my brother, but I thought I'd have a better chance of catching him today because it's Sunday. This is always his day off, and he should be answering. Kelsey glances over at me. What's got you so perturbed? Ollie and I haven't spoken in a week. I'm worried. We've never gone this long without checking in with one another since he left Savannah and moved to Alabama. Ivy leans up from the back seat. I thought you said that he'd been texting. I don't want texts. I need to hear my brother's voice. Occasional vague messages. That's all I've gotten from him this entire week. He's been acting strangely the last few months, but his texts have been different this week. So much weirder than usual. The brewery has grown a lot this year. I'm sure that a successful company like his demands a lot of his time. I'm sure that Ivy's right, at least partially. The brewery wouldn't be thriving if he wasn't devoting the majority of his time to it. But there's something more to it. I feel it deep down in my gut. I understand that he has a lot on his plate, but he always makes time for me. Lately, it feels like we're a million miles apart instead of 400. I don't like the growing distance between us. Kelsey briefly takes her eyes from the road and glances over at me again. Do you think something else is going on with Oliver? I sure do. I don't think that he's gotten over Eden and what she did to him. It's hard for me to imagine Oliver being upset over a woman. He's always the fun time guy, the life of the party, a man whore. I don't like hearing Ivy call my brother that name, even if it's probably true. It's been months since their relationship ended. He must have loved her if he's still upset. I love Eden, and I'm going to ask her to marry me. I can still remember the joy in his voice, the smile on his face, the sparkle in his eyes. I've never seen my brother look so happy. He loved her with all his heart. His heart, his trust, his love, those aren't gifts that he easily gives to anyone, and she completely shit all over them. He told me that he thought Eden was the one. The one? Separately, those words mean little, but together they become very powerful. What in the ass? Ivy swiftly brings her hand down against my seat. I can't imagine those two words coming from his mouth. I know. I thought I'd heard him wrong when he told me. Ivy pokes her head into the front seat. I can't see him settling down for anyone. I thought he loved being the life of the party too much for that. He does. He did, but he changed that part of himself for her. Because he thought he'd found someone he could trust with his heart. I'm devastated for Ollie, because I'm the same way. I know how hard it was for him to open his heart to anyone. My brother and I are alike in so many ways, both so careful who we choose to connect with and how we choose those connections. It's a lesson we mastered very early in life. We were children who learned how to emotionally disconnect before we knew our ABCs, thanks to Jimmy and Christy. God, I need to talk to my brother so badly. If you're that worried, call Porter. Tell him to have Oliver get in touch with you. Kelsey's suggestion isn't a bad one, and I will if it becomes my only choice, but the thought annoys the piss out of me. I shouldn't have to do that when all he has to do is return my call. Kelsey pulls into the public parking area for North Beach, taking the last spot. Looks packed today, girls. No surprise there. It's crowded every day in the summer. Vacationers come from all over to swim at Tybee Island Beach. Kelsey pulls in and backs out, driving forward again to the left, maybe scooting over all of 1 inch. How does it look over there, Law? I bet she'd be directly in the middle of the parking spot if we took measurements. Looks centered to me. Think there's enough room so they won't hit my car when they open their doors? I carefully swing mine open to measure while holding it to ensure I don't hit the car beside me. Kelsey would have a shit fit if I did. I think you're good. Kelsey bought this brand new BMW 6 Series after she got a raise at work a few months ago. She's so proud of it, babying the thing as though it's her child. The love for an expensive luxury car is something I'll never know. I dig my restored 83 Jeep Wagoneer too much to ever trade it for another vehicle. Suffocating heat engulfs us as we get out of the car and retrieve all of our beach crap from the trunk. Ivy cups her hand over her eyes, blocking the sun as she looks toward the water. It's going to be a scorcher today, bitches. I hope one of you remembered to bring sunscreen because I ran off and left the brand new bottle that I bought for today. I brought some SPF 70. I don't play around when it comes to sunburns. I haven't since I was 7 years old. Mommy, my skin hurts so bad. It burns. Well, maybe you shouldn't have been so stupid to stay out in the sun all day like an idiot. Serves you right. Now get out of here and shut the door so I don't have to hear your whining. Or his. It makes my head hurt. It was mid-July. The inside of our rented trailer was blazing hot because the power had been turned off. Jimmy and Christy had chosen to buy heroin instead of electricity that month. It never mattered to those bastards how miserable Ollie and I were, as long as they were able to get high. By some miracle, our water hadn't been turned off. It was the only relief we had from the heat during that unforgiving July, and one of the few ways we were able to have fun. I was a kid, and had never been taught about sunscreen or why it should be used. Not that Christy would have bought any for us anyway. I'm so sorry, Ollie. This is my fault. By that night, Ollie's skin was red and covered in watery blisters. Mine, too. It was a misery like I'd never known, and trust me, I'd known some misery by that point. He was only 4, but had already learned to cry silently so he didn't bother Jimmy and Christy. A few beatings from our sperm donor was all it took for Ollie to learn how to hold his tongue. We did our best to not be seen or heard, but most importantly, we didn't disturb the monsters for fear of their wrath. No lotions or aloe vera, no type of pain medication, no relief. We had nothing to ease our pain except for the brief moments when we were lucky enough to fall asleep, but sleep never came easily around our house. It couldn't when you heard screaming and fighting or partying most of the night. Look what I brought! Kelsey lugs the cooler out of her trunk and dips her hand into the ice, pulling out an amber bottle. I don't have sunscreen, but I do have ice-cold pale hazel. Pale hazel is light and non-filling, so it's the perfect summer beer. My brother and Porter knocked it out of the park when they created it. My favorite on a hot day. Mine too. We have a ton of crap to carry to the beach from the car. I'm drenched with sweat, petered out, and annoyed when Ivy comes to a dead stop right in front of me, almost causing me to crash into her. This sucks. We need some guys to carry our stuff for us. I consider myself an independent woman who can handle most things on my own, but even I wouldn't turn down an offer of help at this point. Kelsey calls out behind me, Hey, you, the one up there complaining, you want to carry the cooler of beer? 'Cause I'm happy to trade you this heavy bastard for those lightweight bags you're carrying. The bags I'm carrying weigh as much as that cooler. Ivy has the lightest load of any of us. Sorry, but I smell du bullshit. Just suck it up a little longer, hooker. We're almost there. We reach the top of the wood-planked walkway leading to the beach and discover the huge crowd of beachgoers. What the shit biscuit? Looks like everyone decided to hit the beach today. Well, more people mean better odds of meeting cute guys. As always, Ivy has one thing on her mind. Luck is with us, and we find three available loungers for rent, surprising considering the swarm of people. Ivy takes out her portable Bluetooth speaker and connects it to her phone. What kind of music are we listening to? I need something soothing. I could stand some James Bay or Jack Savaretti, something along those lines. How about we do a James Bay station and switch it to Jack Savaretti in a little while? Sounds good. Move Together is the first song to play. I love this one. I didn't like James Bay's music that much the first few times I heard it, but now I can't get enough of it. Ivy is so weird. I don't know how anyone wouldn't like his music. He sounds so much like Ray LaMontagne. Yeah, I guess that I can see that. I'm the first to go fishing in the cooler. Who's ready for a cold one? Me. Ivy and Kelsey reply simultaneously. I dig through Kelsey's bag for plastic cups since glass containers aren't allowed on the beach. It's too bad we don't have frozen frosty mugs for these. Oh, God, that would be divine, Kelsey says. Ivy pulls her cover up over her head and tosses it in the direction of her beach bag, overshooting by a full shot. She didn't miss her calling for the WNBA. She adjusts her boobs in her top, and I notice Kelsey studying Ivy's bikini bottom, which is level with her eyes. Good Lord, Ivy. What? The camel called. He wants his toe back. Kelsey holds up her hand, placing a barrier between her and Ivy's crotch. Do something about that. She looks down and inspects her bikini bottom, adjusting it. Better? Much. The heat is fierce, and I down my pale hazel quicker than I should. Only one beer, and my head is already buzzing. How much alcohol do you think is in one of these? Let's have a look. Kelsey fetches a bottle from the bag we're using to collect trash. It's not for a lightweight. It's 8%. Ivy tosses back the last of her beer. Oliver has never been known for brewing weak beer. I wipe the water and sand from my hands and reach for my phone, checking to see if I've missed a call from my brother. Still nothing from that little shit. He's avoiding me, and I want to know why. Kelsey points at our makeshift trash bag. Get the bottles out, and let's take a pic with our beers to send him. Let's do it. He always gets a kick out of that. And it should catch his attention. The girls love sending Ollie random photos of us drinking Iron City beer. I guess it's sort of our "Where will your beer show up next?" groupie project. I'm sure he won't mind getting a picture of the two of you in bikinis. That will gain his attention when nothing else does. Kelsey calls out to our neighboring beachgoer, a middle-aged, gray-haired man with a huge pot belly. Excuse me, sir, could I bother you to take a picture of my friends and me?
I'd be happy to.
I bet Kelsey just made his day, probably his year. Our three-girl posse strikes a pose with our empty, pale hazel bottles, each of us pointing to the label like always.
Say, cold beer, the man says.
Cold beer, we repeat in unison.
Some mighty pretty girls in these pictures.
Thank you. That's a sweet thing to say. He returns my phone to me.
I took several. I have three daughters, so I know all too well how you girls can be about the way you look in pictures.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. You girls have fun and stay safe. Don't have too many of those beers. They can get you into a heap of trouble.
That sounds like something my dad would say. Yes, sir. Kelsey holds out her hand for my phone. Gimme. You're not sending it if I look like a fat ass. Kels is gorgeous, but has this ugly little habit of only seeing negative things about herself. Drives me crazy. She doesn't use self-criticism as a ploy to gain compliments like a lot of women. The girl truly believes she's overweight. Too curvy. That's what she calls herself, but she couldn't be more wrong. She's sexy as hell. Stop already. You haven't taken a bad picture in your life, Ivy says. Not true. She uses her hand to shade the screen. It's not a terrible picture of me, best I can tell. Let me see. Ivy swipes my phone from Kelsey and studies it. Well, I won't be putting it on my Christmas cards, but I guess it passes inspection. I'm not posting it. It's just going to Ollie. Lawrence, having an Iron City brewski with Kay and I at Tybee. Wish you were here. Miss your face. If he doesn't reply to this message, one of you is going to let me take a picture of your boobs. I nominate Kelsey. Ivy pats her chest. I doubt he'd get very excited over these B cups. Our nominee's head spins in Ivy's direction. I don't think so. I vote for you getting in your car and taking your ass to Birmingham to see what his problem is if it's bothering you so badly. Ollie is 27 years old. He may no longer be that little boy I have to shield from real-life monsters, but he'll always be my baby brother in my eyes. I'll never stop worrying about him. I haven't been to Birmingham in a long time, and it could be time to pay the boy a visit. We have things to discuss. Things that I've been putting off for a while because I don't want to have the discussion. His big beer fest is coming up next weekend. Iron City Brewery is hosting this year, and I'm certain it'll be a blowout. It would be a fun time to visit. Kelsey reaches into the cooler. Maybe all three of us show up in Birmingham without warning, make a girls' weekend out of it. Ivy groans. I can't go. I'm scheduled to work next weekend. Take off, Kelsey says. Right. Like I can just call up my supervisor and tell her that I won't be there all weekend. Ivy shakes her head, and I'm certain she's rolling her eyes beneath her dark sunglasses. You know I have to request vacation time 6 weeks in advance at the hospital. Ivy loves her job, but the inflexibility of her schedule sucks. She misses out on a lot because she can't make spur-of-the-moment plans like Kelsey and me. I want to check on my brother, but this might not be the best idea.
I'm not sure Ollie will be happy about me showing up during one of his busiest events. You want to know what's going on with him. The best way to get down to the bottom.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?